Thursday, the 12th of June. Good morning, kids, and welcome to Kids Corner here at Radio Veritas. Well, today we're going to carry on thinking about the Trinity because, of course, on Sunday we're celebrating the Feast of the Trinity. And so today I want us to think a little bit more about some of the key ideas that we might have about the Trinity. And I want us to think a little bit today about some ideas that the early church picks up from the Greek culture in which it is living. So, a little bit of a history lesson, guys. When Jesus was born, he was born under Roman occupation. Do you remember that? If you listen to those Christmas readings, you'll hear them talk about, and this time, Caesar Augustus ordered a great census of the whole world. Remember that? So Augustus Caesar is in charge, and that means Rome's in charge. It means that Rome has conquered both Judea and Galilee, which are both part of what today we might call Israel, but at that time they were different places, and Samaria, which is in between them. And Rome had conquered great parts of North Africa, of Asia, and of Europe. So Rome was conquering everywhere. But Rome wasn't the first group of people to conquer that part of the world. In fact, a few centuries earlier, there had been a Macedonian, a Greek, Alexander the Great, and he had conquered everywhere also. And he had left behind Greek language and Greek culture. And one of the rare moments of this happening, when the Romans conquered places, they conquered economically and politically and certainly with military force, but the Greek culture remained very dominant. And we sometimes call that Hellenic culture. Greek and Hellenic culture remained very dominant, and educated people all over the Roman Empire learned Greek, they wrote in Greek, they thought in Greek, and they were influenced by the great Greek writers, especially the playwrights. And a lot of Greek theology about the Parthenon of Greek gods, some of you know these names, Zeus and Hera and Apollo and Hercules. Well, these Greek gods have Roman counterparts. They have the same religion, just different names. But a lot of the theology for Greeks was taught and learned through the theater, through their plays, or through their great epic poems, like the epic poems of Homer. But I want to stay with Greek theater for a moment, because in Greek theater, the actors wore masks depending on the role, character, and emotional state they were playing at the time. So it wasn't like going to a modern theater today where people don't wear masks unless they're, you know, acting a character that wears a mask. All the actors wore masks. You didn't see their actual faces. When they put on the mask of Apollo, they were Apollo. When they put on the mask of the tragic hero Odysseus, they were Odysseus. Okay? So it was quite a strange thing. And in Greek theater, wearing the mask was also quite a religious experience. It wasn't just theater. People weren't going there to be entertained. It was considered a religious experience, a cathartic experience. And the name of the mask in Greek meant prosopia, which translates to faces. And in Latin, the mask, these are the masks used in the plays, were called persona. And that translates into our English word for person. So, the early Christian church grows up in this Hellenic culture. And in fact, we sometimes, those people who grow up and go and study scripture, if you study the New Testament, you need to learn New Testament Greek. You need to learn the Greek that was being written at the time that the New Testament was being written so that you can read the original forms of the scriptures in Greek. They're not in Arabic, they're not in Aramaic, they're not in Hebrew, the New Testament. It's written in Hellenic Greek. Those are the oldest versions we have. And we can imagine a whole culture where people really understood, even if they weren't believing in the Greek Parthenon, they understood from Greek plays this notion of persona. So in Christian theology, we started saying way back then in the early church, in one God, there are three persons. So three faces or three masks that show God to us. That God can manifest God's self as creator or redeemer or sanctifier. And that we understand these to be the roles of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Now, in modern English, this is an important thing to understand. The meaning of the word person has changed. When we use the word person with the Trinity, we are leaning back into that ancient understanding of the word person. We're not talking about the way that you and I might be described as persons under the law, for instance. If you read South African legal law, you'll see they use the word person and they mean one person. It cannot be two persons, there's only one person. So, if we just stay with South African law for a moment, none of the persons of the Trinity have a birth and a death and a unique memory, understanding, will, and set of desires that isn't part of the whole of the Trinity, because they're not a person like you or I are legally. So don't let modern understandings of the word distort what is meant by this Hellenic understanding of the term persona. Instead, I want you to think of one God with three ways of being that we might call persons or faces. And we must never lose sight of the fact that these two ideas are held in tension, one God and three persons. We must keep the idea of community in mind when we talk about God. So, Karl Rahner, one of the great theologians of the 20th century, he speaks about these as three modes of self-communication, of how God interacts with us. Sometimes we see the Father, we're more aware of the Father in our lives, the Creator. Sometimes we are more aware of the Son. And sometimes we are more aware of the Spirit, that when God deals with us, God adapts to our ability to perceive a Creator, a Redeemer, or a sanctifying spirit. So, let's take a moment now to pray. This is a very complex set of ideas. Lord, help us to understand that you choose to reveal yourself as you please, that you choose to reveal yourself as we need to see you in a given moment. Sometimes as loving Father or as Creator, sometimes as our gentle brother Jesus, and sometimes as the Spirit who gives us life. We ask that we may grow in wisdom and understanding. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.